Hello, my name is Richard Buggs and I'm a scientist working in the area of the natural environment. I do research on the genetics of plants to try to understand how they adapt to their natural environments and how they might cope with climate change. I'm also a Christian, and over the last 20 years or so as I've been doing my studies, I've thought a lot about how Christianity motivates me to be doing research on the natural environment and trying to understand how we can better care for it as human beings. And also more widely, how does Christianity contribute to the discussions happening in wider society about the natural environment? Well, I think as we look at what's going on in the area of environmentalism, we would probably agree that not only is the environment in a crisis, but also environmentalism is in a crisis as well. If I look back to my school days back in the 1990s, we were aware back then that the loss of the Amazon rainforest was a very bad thing for the globe, and I can remember my science class trying to raise money to buy a few acres of Amazon rainforest to protect it from deforestation. I can remember being at a science conference in the early 2000s and listening to Peter Raven of the Missouri Botanic Garden describe how if every human being on the planet had a lifestyle like the average American, then several planets would be needed to support the lifestyle of the human population. It simply is not sustainable. But yet over the last 10, 20, 30 years, we haven't actually improved a great deal in our record on the natural environment. In fact, in recent years, many democracies have actually elected leaders who are less concerned about the natural environment than perhaps earlier leaders were. And although there are success stories, like for example our war on single-use plastics. About a year ago we saw a big step change in the way we use plastics, but in some ways in the face of a global pandemic all of that has gone out the window, hasn't it? We need to use single-use plastics a great deal in our hospitals and in healthcare. We're now using face masks by the million, and of course there they contain plastics and are being thrown away. We face really difficult choices as humans. And there are trade-offs between human well-being and the well-being of the environment as a whole. You know, to take a really extreme example, here I am, as I speak to you, I'm breathing, as I breathe, I'm taking in oxygen, and I'm breathing out carbon dioxide. I'm a carbon dioxide emitter. Well, would it be better for the natural environment if I were just to die? Then I would no longer be consuming the world's resources and outputting carbon. You know, where do we draw the line when it comes to human well-being versus the well-being of the wider environment? Well, the recent ongoing coronavirus pandemic shows us that for most of us, human well-being very much comes first. And that's very natural. As we look around us, humans are amazing. They're sentient. We feel, we suffer. Of course we want to put humans first. But on the other hand, if we live in an atheistic universe, if there is no God, then humans are just here by chance. You know, we're just an ape from the African savannah who has outgrown its niche and become far too dominant of the world. And some environmentalists would say to us a big reduction in the human population would be good for the planet, and some would even advocate that happening. Well, that's a really difficult moral conundrum, isn't it, in an atheistic universe. What do we do when we have these trade-offs between the environment and human life? Another problem that we face is a problem of motivation. You know, if there's no God, if this world is all there is, if my life here, my 70 or 80 years here perhaps, are all that there is of my existence, then surely I want to have the best possible time I can during that time. And if I make choices that affect the natural environment for the future, if I make choices that aren't going to be felt in their effects for years after I've died, then should I really care? Can I really be motivated to make sacrifices? You know, will I really forego an exotic holiday if I can afford one? Will I forego the travel that I could experience just so that the natural environment can be that little bit better for future generations? It's hard to motivate myself, isn't it? I think we all feel this. And in a godless universe, it seems to me that problem of motivation is quite an acute problem. And can I really have hope for the natural environment in a godless universe? Have we already gone too far in environmental degradation? Have we reached a tipping point and there's no going back? Or if there is going back, if millions and millions of people across the planet make the right choices, well, perhaps next week a global leader will press a nuclear button and wreak environmental devastation on a scale that we can scarcely imagine. And all of my self-denial and all of my right choices will be for nothing. The world will be utterly devastated. It's hard to be optimistic, isn't it, in a godless universe? It's hard to have hope. It's hard to work out the place of humans in the world. It's hard to motivate myself, to deny myself, to do the right thing for the environment, especially when no one is watching. You know, it's easy for me to decide to change my car and buy a Tesla. That's an easy thing to do if I can afford it, to burnish my green credentials. It's easy to buy a reusable coffee cup, and so my friends can see me using that and not using a single-use plastic or a disposable cardboard cup. But those things that no one else sees, that have a big effect on my life, that mean I forgo a luxury and don't get any credibility from my neighbours because of it, well, do I make those choices or not? I'm afraid for lots of us, when no one's looking, we end up making choices that are not good for the natural environment. And that's because we're all fundamentally selfish, and we do find it hard to motivate ourselves to do the right thing, to do the unselfish thing. So I think these are some of the reasons why environmentalism is in a crisis. The ultimate solution for the environmental problems we have is for all of us to deny ourselves and have less extravagant lives, to have our homes cooler in the winter and hotter in the summer than we're used to turn off the air conditioning, to turn down the heating, to have cars that have fewer gadgets. You know, in a modern car, despite all we're doing to try and make engines more fuel efficient, we carry around equipment to give us a high level of luxury that we don't really need. You know, we don't need everything to be electronic. We don't need to have separate environmental controls for temperature for the passenger and for the driver. We don't really need a car that can give us a massage as we drive along. Our cars are just packed with electronic gadgets and motors that mean we carry around with us a level of luxury that we really don't need. But it's these kind of things that are having an impact on the natural environment. How do we lead less selfish lives that will benefit the world around us? Well, as I've thought about these issues, I think Christianity has a lot to offer here, and specifically the teaching of the Bible has much to tell us that could benefit us and benefit the natural environment around us. That might seem a strange thing to say, because the Bible was written over much of it over 2,000 years ago. And of course, at that point, the idea that humans could impact the natural environment and change the climate of the world, as seems to be happening today, was utterly unthinkable. We didn't have the machinery and the mechanization, which would mean that we could impact the natural world on that kind of scale. But despite the fact that this wasn't a massive issue 2,000 years ago, I think there are many things in the teaching of the Bible that helps us to understand our place in the world and to understand what we should be doing to benefit the natural environment and how we should be living in a way that pleases God and that also has knock-on positive effects for the natural environment. Let me tell you what I think those things are. First of all, the Bible helps us to understand the place of human beings in the natural world. From an atheistic perspective, it's very hard to tell, are we the best thing about the world or are we the worst thing about the world? is the world all about us? Should we be exploiting the world all we can and making sure we have fun in this life? Or are we just parasites and the world will be better off without us? From an atheistic perspective, it's very hard to say which way. The Bible says neither. We're neither the best thing nor the worst thing about this world. Or in some ways, we're both the best thing and the worst thing about this world. The world was created by God with a purpose, and human beings are at the pinnacle of God's purposes for this world. And so in that sense, the world was created for us. But the Bible doesn't give us a carte blanche to just do whatever we like with the natural world. If we read the early chapters of Genesis, it's very clear that human beings are placed in this world as gardeners. We're placed in this world to care for it and to look after it. We're stewards of the natural world, not exploiters of the natural world. And God wants us to be responsible in the way we use the other living things and the inanimate resources of the world around us. It seems to me that's something that the Bible very clearly teaches. And it says God will hold us humans accountable for the way we use the natural world. In the teaching of Jesus Christ, we also see a call to unselfish living. Jesus tells us not to be living for the luxuries of this world, not to be wasting our money, not to be heaping up treasures. You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus, how the rich man had every luxury, he had wonderful food, and there was this poor man, Lazarus, who had basically nothing. And Jesus says, well, it was a lot better for the poor man in the long run than it was for the rich man who had every luxury in this life. The Epistle of James tells us very similar things about the problems of being rich. And so the Bible is calling us to live lives which are unselfish, lives which don't consume more than they need to, lives which don't rely upon luxury and on possessions. The Bible calls us to live a much simpler life than perhaps the lives that many of us are living, especially in the West today. The Bible tells us this world is not what it's all about. There's a life to come, and we need to be preparing for that. Our task here in this world isn't to have as much fun as we possibly can within our lifespan. We have to live responsibly. We have to be looking to the future even after we are gone. So I think the Bible really helps us to motivate ourselves to look after the natural environment. And the Bible also gives us great hope for the future of the natural environment. You know, it's easy to become quite hopeless when we think about the environmental crisis that we face. Have we gone past that tipping point? Is there really a good future for this world now? Are things that I do for the good of the planet really worth it? Well, the Bible says there is a hope. There is a hope for the future of this natural world, because when Jesus comes a second time, he'll come to redeem and to renew the whole of the planet. He's going to make everything better. In Romans 8:21 we read, creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. God himself will step in and put everything right about this planet. And that gives us a hope. It's worth caring for because God cares for it, and ultimately God will fix it. Well, you might say to me, actually that doesn't motivate me, because if God is going to fix it, then why should I worry about it now? Why shouldn't I just exploit this world at the moment, because God will step in at some point in the future and make everything better? Well, I don't think that train of logic really holds, because as Christians, we believe that God will give us a new body. We believe that after we die, we'll be resurrected and our body will be made new. But I've never seen a Christian who hasn't been worried if he's broken his leg or if he has an illness. Most Christians, even though they know that this body is only temporary and God will one day give them a new body, are actually very careful about their human bodies. And if they have a broken leg, they want to get that fixed as soon as they can. And I think as Christians, we should be thinking in the same way about the natural environment. If things are broken about this world that we can fix, then we should be trying to fix them in the here and now, if we possibly can, just as we're trying to fix our human bodies, if we possibly can. And it seems clear to me that that is what God would want us to do as responsible stewards of this world. I think there's another way, though, in which biblical teaching benefits the environment in an indirect way. It seems to me that if we live our lives according to biblical morality, as a kind of unintended knock-on effect, we live lives which are more environmentally friendly. I've already talked about living a life which doesn't indulge in unnecessary luxury. That clearly benefits the environment, and it's clearly part of the Bible's teaching about our attitude to this life. But think also about biblical morality. You know, if I am the husband of one wife and I remain faithful to her throughout my whole life, then our family unit will always be a single household. We won't need to have multiple flats that the family live in if we that would happen if we were to become separated. Just living a life, for example, obeying God's commands about marriage, is going to have knock-on effects that are good for the natural environment, even though that wasn't the primary intention of that particular piece of teaching in the Bible. And I think there are many examples like that, where if we're living a life the way that God tells us to live it, even if our primary motivation isn't for the environment, there will be many ways in which in the long run the environment will benefit. So it really seems to me, as I've reflected on these issues, Christians should probably, and probably are, if they're following biblical teaching, living more environmentally friendly lives than people who don't believe and follow the Bible's teaching. But I think as Christians, we do need to be careful about these issues. We shouldn't be taking the natural world for granted. We should be taking seriously the instructions that God gave us right back at the beginning, that we're stewards of this natural world, and we should be using it and not abusing it. And I think that's part of Christian witness in the 21st century.